Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles, a radio studio. Today, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and today FS1, due to extreme caution and a couple of COVID cases on my Sunday Fox NFL show, I am going to be for the next few days in the radio studio. 1 hour from now, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. Great guest today, including Howie Long this hour. And Joy Taylor is on the FS1 lot and joining us live. Joy, how are you?
I'm great, Colin. Sad to not be with you today, but we're figuring it all out. And what a crazy weekend.
It was. And I want to start the show, Joy. If you're in your 20s or early 30s, this is hard to picture, but all trying to paint the picture. If you're in your 20s, you don't remember this probably, but I'll give you an example. College basketball 20 years ago was huge. Guys like Patrick Ewing played 4 years of college. It felt as big as the NBA. I'm not joking. Can you imagine Zion for 4 years at Duke? All the best players came back. Occasionally leaving early meant you left after your junior year. College basketball was huge 20, 25 years ago. So was boxing. You didn't have every baseball game and every NBA game and every college football game on television. You had much less on television 25 years ago. And the boxing matches felt so huge. And there were four or five massive, you know, Ollie Tyson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Hagler, Hearns fights. And 25 years ago, 20 years ago, the Raiders games, they all felt huge. They were rivals with the Steelers. They were rivals with Don Shula of the Dolphins. They were rivals with Elway. They were rivals with the new Seahawks. Everybody was their rival. And they'd play those late afternoon games, and they just felt gigantic. And then they just didn't matter a lot for the last 20 years. The Raiders are officially back. Last night, that was the single best loss, not only for the Raiders, but any NFL team this year. That thing had a chance to be awful. Andy Reid's 18-3 off a bye. The Raiders had beaten them at Arrowhead, and then victory lapped it in their bus. You know, typical Raiders get cocky and believe their press, and then they show up and get boat raced. No! They outplayed the Chiefs for most of the game. Can't tell you the last time I led a show with a losing football team. But if you're a Raider fan, you should feel great. Derek Carr was humming. That's as good as Derek Carr has ever played. They can run the football. They can go deep. They can eat the clock. It was just, first of all, between Mahomes and Derek Carr, that was the best quarterback matchup. That was a unbelievable showcase of quarterback talent. And the better quarterback won in the final, you know, drive. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. You got to feel great. You know, Kansas City this year, their defense since the end of last year has been better. So against everybody else this year, Kansas City's allowing 17.5 points a game. Against the Raiders this year, they're surrendering 35.5 points. So I watched that game, and I watched Derek Carr, and the reason everybody in America bet the Kansas City Chiefs, the Vegas sports books made a fortune yesterday because all of us had Kansas City. It had Chiefs written all over it. Revenge, Andy Reid off a bye. The Raiders had beaten them. They'd victory lapped it. They're starting to get great press. That had Raider mess all over it. And they played great football. And I got to tell you, I said it last week, John Gruden's my coach of the year. I'll double down on it. I know they're only 6-4, but if the playoffs started today, this is what's interesting. The Steelers and the AFC would be the number one seed. They'd get a bye. Kansas City would be the number two seed. You know who they'd play? The Raiders. And I got news for you. Andy Reid has no interest playing them again. He'd take Cleveland. He'd take Baltimore getting back into the playoffs. He'd take the sleepy Colts. He would take Buffalo. He'd probably even take Tennessee. So the Raiders are officially back. Derek Carr and John Gruden are in complete and utter harmony. Incredibly impressive. And I just think I wish college basketball was like the old days and guys stayed in college and it was bigger. And I wish boxing was as big as it used to be. And I miss those 4 o'clock West Coast games, the sun coming down in Oakland. And here come the Raiders against the Dolphins and the Steelers. And they were just magnificent. They felt like the NFL. They were the outlaws of the NFL. And maybe in Vegas now they still are. But here's Gruden and Derek Carr afterwards. Happy guys for a loss.
I couldn't be more proud of our football team. I wouldn't trade any of our players for anybody. The effort that they've given us is tremendous. We've got to eliminate the penalties, and that starts with me.
It's the best offense I've ever been a part of, you know. This group is awesome, and I know I say it every week, but we can win in different ways, you know. You know, we can smash them, you know, with the run game, or we can do a shootout. You know, we can do it that way.
This felt so much like the Rams-Chiefs. Remember that game that was scheduled for Mexico a couple years ago? They had to come back, play in Los Angeles. The Chiefs lost that game. And it kind of feels like now, a couple years later, the Chiefs can win that game. And it's the Raiders that feel a little bit like the Chiefs. They're not quite ready to win that game yet, but they're really close, and they're about as good as a 6-4 team gets. And Derek Carr, and a lot of you don't like him, he was magnificent. He was absolutely great. And yeah, I know. We know Mahomes is great. That's been established. He's got the Super Bowl. I'll tell you, the NFL has hit a trifecta with Mahomes. He's the three things that matter. He's great, he's heroic, and he's incredibly likable. But what a performance last night. So let's talk about a team I've been critical of, and I still think they're going to go probably 13-3, the Green Bay Packers. But I said on Friday's show, they are the convertible sports car of the NFL. Nobody looks cooler. Nobody's better in better weather. They just scream country club living. But they've never been in a fight and won a fight in their life. So I want to see Green Bay play the Colts in what will be an ugly football game. The Colts are physical. The Colts offensive line is great. They challenge your manhood. And what happened? The Packers looked really good for a half, and then the second half became into a little bit of a fist fight, and Green Bay rolled over. This is why I can't take them seriously. They're going to win out in their schedule. They play a bunch of bad teams, but if you start looking at the numbers in the second half, classic Green Bay, could they run the ball? Nope, 66 yards rushing. Turnovers, ooh, they got a little uncomfortable. Colts have a pass rush, 4. Time of possession, they got smoked. And it's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. Aaron Rodgers watched the second half. But they went in at halftime. Green Bay led. Everything's rolling. Colts came out, had a 14-play drive, a 10-play drive, and an 8-play drive. Thanks for flying United. And Aaron Rodgers sat in the sidelines and watched the second half. Wasn't on Aaron. I mean, he had a pick. You know, it wasn't Aaron's best game, but Aaron played fine. Aaron played very, very well. But this is what I doubt about him. This is what I doubt. And Green Bay tried to solve this dilemma in their draft. They went and got a running back, a power back, and a blocking tight end, and 3 offensive linemen. They haven't solved it. They remain the convertible sports car of the NFL, and SUVs winning this league once you get to Thanksgiving. And by the way, the Colts got no breaks from the officials. Well, I mean, that series of holding calls, a couple of those, come on, late in the game, you don't call those holding calls. You really don't call those. So, listen, they're 7-3 right now. Green Bay, I looked at their schedule this morning. They're probably going to go 13-3, and everybody's going to fall back in love with them. But when I look at the Packers, I take the games out where they face bad quarterbacks, because you're not going to face any of those in the playoffs. You're going to face Russell Wilson or a Jared Goff or a Tom Brady. You're not going to face any bad quarterbacks, so I don't care about those games. I'm going to cherry pick the games you play, teams with competent quarterbacks that are physical, because those are the teams that end up in the playoffs, especially in the second round on. Matt LaFleur, after the game, his thoughts on getting completely pushed around in the second half against the Colts.
It was the tale of two halves. I thought The first half was, there was a lot of great complimentary football. Second half was the exact opposite. Then we got beat in every phase. Obviously, the kickoff return that where we fumbled the football was a big point in the game as well. And, you know, you just can't do that stuff against a good team.
And you can't sit on the sidelines if you're Aaron Rodgers and watch a 14-play drive and a 10-play drive and an 8-play drive result in 13 points. That, to me, I kept watching early second half, and I'm like, how is Aaron Rodgers going to be in rhythm? He had a couple of three and outs. Of course he did. You can't. You sit in the sidelines for a 14 and a 10-play drive. You can't ask an offense to walk in against that Colts defense and just, come on, first down, first down. It's too hard for Aaron. I'll defend Aaron here. If you can't get that 24 plays in two drives, you're not going to have any harmony in your offensive football if you're asking a quarterback to watch in real time, sit there for 15 minutes. It's just not going to happen. All right, coming up next, it's not like Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, needs to be defended. But starting Taysom Hill reportedly didn't make some of the Saints players happy. But Sean was right, and he knows something about Taysom Hill that Jameis Winston can't provide. That and Howie Long around the corner on a Monday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Geico.com, check it out. Going to be doing a lot of driving. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Howie Long around the corner. Next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. Joy Taylor's in today back at the studio. I'm in the radio studio this week. Then we hopefully return. So last week, Drew Brees gets hurt. And then Jameis Winston, we think, is going to start. And then Taysom Hill starts. Now, Taysom Hill had only completed 18 passes. And there was a story this weekend that some of the Saints players didn't really like it. Yeah, and some of the Dolphins players didn't really like it when Ryan Fitzpatrick sat. But Tua playing and Taysom Hill playing is very similar, and I'll get to that in a second. So I've always said this about running quarterbacks. Running quarterbacks work. They just don't last. But the element of surprise works. The Wildcat offense worked in this league for a year. Hiking the ball to a running back worked. Even New England tried it in Belichick. It worked. It didn't last. Lamar Jackson worked. Colin Kaepernick worked. Tim Tebow won seven straight games. It doesn't last. The league figures it out. If you look at the teams that won yesterday, their running backs ran and their quarterbacks threw. That's what eventually works. But Taysom Hill was effective for a game. Because Sean Payton here isn't making a decision for the future of the Saints. He's making a decision for 3 weeks. Sean Payton wants to win three games, and then Drew Brees is back. That's it. And for three games, his argument is Taysom Hill, element of the surprise, is a more athletic version of Tebow. He's a much better thrower of the football than Tebow. And we've seen Lamar and Kaepernick and Tebow. It catches people off guard. It takes months, sometimes a year, for people to figure it out. And Atlanta's defense was hot and looked lost. Atlanta didn't quite know what to do yesterday. And the other thing is, when Brian Flores started Tua over Ryan Fitzpatrick, think about that. Why? Well, because Fitzpatrick was winning, he's been in the league longer, and yet they went with Tua. Why? Because Flores said, you know, my defense is really good, and I don't need a ton from my quarterback. What I need is no mistakes, and Fitzpatrick's a gunslinger. And a lot of the players in Miami didn't like it, but Tua came in, and he was initially a better fit for the defense. Okay, and similarly, Taysom Hill. Saints have a really good defense, but Taysom Hill runs, eats the clock, takes some wear and tear off Alvin Kamara, and doesn't have a history of lots of mistakes like Jameis. And so the Dolphins made a decision to go with a kid that had never played in the NFL over Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was hot, to help their defense. And Taysom Hill helps your defense. He's not going to turn it over. He's going to run and eat the clock. He takes some wear and tear off Alvin Kamara. And so long term, there's a reason duct tape in life works. Duct tape buys you time. Until you get a solution for something, or you can buy something, or something gets fixed. Taysom Hill could very well just be the world's best duct tape. All you want to do is win three games. And Sean Payton, for the record, is now 6-0 using midseason backups. He knows what he's doing. Here's Sean Payton after the win.
The offense changed some. We carried a lot of the same protections. Certainly, we featured some heavy play actions. We felt like it was going to be a lot of down safety defense. I thought we threw the ball down the field well, and I was proud of the execution. Again, I thought we blocked them up front real well.
Yeah, I mean, as I watched that game, and don't even ask me why I've ever bet Atlanta in my life. I'm now 0 for 400 betting the Falcons. But Atlanta came in playing pretty good defense, and Taysom Hill gave them problems. And never forget this. I go back to this. Tim Tebow won 7 games in a row and couldn't throw the ball. Not close to Taysom Hill. And Taysom's a much better athlete. Is that the element of surprise? The run and shoot worked for a while in the NFL. The wildcat worked. Atlanta looked lost. And this is duct tape. I mean, Sean Payton just wants to win 3 games. That's all he wants. He wants to win 3 games. Jameis, to me, is the better long-term answer. We're not talking long-term. We're talking 3 weeks, maybe less than a month, and it worked. Here is Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
You know, Colin, I thought about warning you about Atlanta this week, but you know,
you never
consult with me for your Blazing 5, so I couldn't help you.
And you know what? And it's funny because now people attack me. They're like, "You're stupid for doing that," and I'm like, "Yeah, I am. I don't have any retort. I know better. I quit on the Jets by week 2. I quit in Atlanta week 4, and I forgot all about it. Now I will say this: I have the Buccaneers over the Rams tonight, and I'm 6-1 on Ram games. So there's a team I'm great at. And a team I should avoid, Atlanta, it's my bad.
No, you are great with the Rams. So really bad news yesterday for the whole league. Joe Burrow's incredible rookie season is over. He was carted off the field in the 3rd quarter after suffering a brutal leg injury. He reportedly tore his left ACL and will miss the rest of the season. He tweeted after the game, "Thanks for all the love. Can't get rid of me that easy. See you next year." He was sacked 32 times and hit 77 times this season. Both are 3rd most in the league behind Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson. The Bengals did make several offensive line moves this offseason, but obviously it wasn't enough. And I mean, those numbers speak for themselves. They have the 26th highest grade in pass blocking and 12th in run blocking this season, according to Pro Football Focus. I mean, this is devastating. This is what we were talking about before the season started, what we were afraid of with Joe Burrow having an Andrew Luck type of situation and getting hit as many times as he was. I mean, he was running around constantly and getting hit constantly. No one can deal with that. And to keep in mind as well, you know, he is still, while he is a big man and he is a bit older than some rookie quarterbacks coming into the league, this is his first NFL season getting hit by NFL players. That's a big difference from college. And at that rate, this has almost felt, I don't want to say inevitable, but it's like this is what we were afraid of all season long.
Yeah, and it's very Andrew Luck, where the team basically it had a bad offensive line and no running game. And so, you know, they're throwing 37, 38, 39 times a game. The Bengals not only have to build an offensive line, but they really have to draft some running backs because – I think Kansas City is kind of showing you the way. When you get that great quarterback, don't ask him to throw 37 times. Ask him to throw 28 to 35, be special 6 or 7 times. This feels so Andrew Luck to me that it was not just that Andrew Luck had a bad offensive line, but they had no running game. So he put himself up there 42, 43 times a game throwing, and it's just simply too much.
Yeah, well, we're all obviously wishing him a quick and speedy recovery. He had a great season and was completely impressive. Obviously, the quarterback of the future there, but they've got to put some pieces around him. So Tua struggled against the Broncos Sunday, completing only 11 of 20 passes for 83 yards and a touchdown. Brian Flores decided to bench him in the 4th quarter when Miami was down by 10. It was a little confusion there because he did get hit on the play before they took him out. So it was like, is he hurt or are they benching him? But he did clarify that he was benched for play. The Dolphins could not pull off the comeback with Ryan Fitzpatrick, though they lost to Denver 2013. He threw an interception to Justin Simmons, which essentially sealed the game. Flores said after the game he was taken out because of his performance, but he will be the starter going forward. They are at the New York Jets next week, so that's a good game for him to get a bounce back in. He was also sacked 6 times. He'd only been sacked 4 times in his first 3 starts combined. So.
Yes. Well, you know, Joy, it wasn't like even John Elway and Peyton Manning had like obstacles. he wasn't going to get a defensive touchdown and a special teams touchdown every week. There was going to be a game where it was cold. He was on the road, fell behind and got hit a bunch. And so I had no problem with what Flores was saying. Like, listen, in the moment, we want to win this football game. But I don't listen, this is called the journey. Right? Burrow got hurt, part of the journey. Justin Herbert had big games and lost all of them, part of the journey. This was the first time Tua fell behind, big pass rush, didn't have any answers, high altitude, first game in cold weather perhaps ever. It happens. Now you just, and I, Flores benching him didn't bother me at all.
No, I had no issue with it at all, especially because the Dolphins are in contention. If they weren't in contention for the division and a playoff spot, then I would say, you know what, right, leave him out there. You know, he's got to push through these moments. But they absolutely can make it to the playoffs this year and with Tua as their quarterback. So this is a moment where, you know, he's been sacked six times. It can only get worse from here at this point. Of course, put Fitzpatrick in there and try and at least win the game. And then we'll deal with it later. But I had no issue with that. Plus, also, I think Tua has the mental fortitude and attitude to be able to recover emotionally from being taken out of the game.
Yeah, he does.
Certain guys, you have to, you know, be careful with their personality, how they're going to react to that. I don't think Tua is one of those guys.
He's not a fragile sort. That's not who he is.
No. So the Ravens did a good job containing Derrick Henry through the first three quarters yesterday, holding him to only 44 yards, but he still came up big when it mattered. He finished with 133 rushing yards and scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime to give the Titans the 30-24 victory. He got 28 carries in the win, which were the most he's had in a game since week one. We were just talking about this last week, Colin, that when he doesn't get a high amount of carries, they lose.
Right.
Like, he is, how he goes is the way that the Titans are going to go. It was also his sixth 100-yard rushing game this season and put him over 1,000 yards for the third consecutive year.
It's funny. I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, the teams that passed on him because he went in the second round, like, what was it that they saw they didn't like? You're like, okay, he's big as a refrigerator, but runs like a running back, and he's very productive, and he doesn't fumble, and he was great in high school, college, and pro football. I mean, there's just not much. Maybe he's not a great pass receiver, but every time I watch him, you know, you fall into the, isn't everybody in the league looking for a Derrick Henry, a 250-pound running back that can pull away from secondary players? Like, that's what everybody in the league, Pete Carroll would die for that this morning, but everybody passed on him at least once, and good for the Titans. They deserve it.
They do, and you know what? Sometimes you outthink the room. Maybe they felt like he had too many carries in college or something like that.
Yes.
But yeah, he's tremendous. He's impossible to get down in the open field. The best that you can do is push him to the outside and get him out. The AFC South now has gotten more interesting. The Colts are 7-3, Titans 7-3. Obviously, they pulled away from the Texans and Jags. But the AFC playoff picture is very interesting. Titans, Browns, and Raiders in the wild card right now. And the Ravens are now in the hunt with the Dolphins, both at 6-4. So a lot of implications to these games this weekend.
Yep, give the Browns credit. I watched that entire game. They keep playing in rainstorms, but they've won 2 of 3. Good for Cleveland. They won. It was an ugly W. You know what? It doesn't matter. It was good.
It doesn't.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Super Bowl champ and a Hall of Famer. He's been on NFL Fox's number one show on Sunday for over 2 decades. He's our friend. He's Howie Long, and he is joining us here on a Monday in the Herd. So I was saying to start the show, Howie, I grew up in a generation where boxing was huge. Patrick Ewing stayed at Georgetown for 4 years, and the Raiders every Sunday were in a late afternoon game that felt like a playoff game. Last night, I felt like, wow, the Raiders feel like they're back. As a former Raider watching that, how did it feel for you?
Yeah, I agree. I think John, you know, you go back to the Tuck rule in New England and kind of the unfinished business that he had and wanting to come back, and obviously it's a great contract, but I think one of the big reasons why he wanted to come back was to finish the deal. And Derek, the thing that stood out to me, and one of the great things you get with, you know, no fans in the stadiums, you can hear everything.
Yeah.
And watching Derek at the line, he is a full extension of John Gruden. They are kind of, you know, when you're looking at a coach and a quarterback, you're looking at two elevators, and at some point they pass and they're at their peak. I think right now is kind of Derek Carr's for me, Derek Carr's peak in this offense. And I think John's comfort level with him and an understanding of who they are. They're a physical offense. And it's interesting because it's a contrast in styles. When you look at Kansas City, they, you know, this game was all about, you know, forcing Kansas City to go on 10, 12, 14 play drives, test their resolve and being patient because they want triples and home runs. And you want to force them to take singles and doubles and rally to the ball and make the tackle. And for the most part, they did that. But also, Kansas City was up to the task.
Yep.
And they don't walk out of that stadium thinking, yeah, the Raiders, that game was a fluke, you know, a few weeks back.
Yep.
They could have walked out of there with a loss very easily.
Yeah. So the opposite of the Raiders, which are a physical team, is Green Bay. And I've said this, they're the convertible sports car of the NFL. Nobody looks cooler in good weather than Green Bay. But when it gets...
Ironic because it's Green Bay.
Yes. But yet in cold weather or physical games or the second half against the Colts, it doesn't look like they're up for the fight. And you played in this league a long time. Can finesse teams become physical teams after Thanksgiving? Can they?
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting quandary because, you know, they're up 14 points at one point.
Yeah.
You know, when you're up 14 points, that's when you want to throw the body blows. That's when you want to possess the football, take time off the clock, steal possessions, force that offense to sit on the sidelines. And, you know, Indianapolis, conversely, is a very physical team, particularly on the defensive front. DeForest Buckner, who I know you're familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him as a freshman at Oregon, walking on the field, and those two freshmen, you know, were on the field, those two freshman defensive tackles. My gosh. And they make it difficult for you to be physical.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the... To me, it's the turnovers with them. And if you're not going to be a physical team and you can't close games out in the traditional way, you can't turn the football over.
Yep.
And they turned the football over. They were up 14. And is it the end of the world? No. There's still two games up in the division. You know, and last year they were a 13-3 team. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat. They got mauled by the physical team.
Yep.
And that's the question, whether it's Tampa Bay, and we've seen it a couple of times this year where Minnesota ran the ball down their throat a bit.
Yep.
They have to become a team that can close a game out when they have a lead. As you know, they're not necessarily, like, conversely, Kansas City, he plays from behind all the time.
Yeah.
And he's great at it. And I think Andy Reid and that offense and all the weapons, they're a lot to deal with in terms of playing from behind. Look at their playoff run last year. They came back from double digits down in each game, including the Super Bowl. So last night for them, end of game, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Now in Green Bay, you know, I don't want to say front runner, but, you know, when you're up 14 points, you've got to close a game out, particularly on the road.
Yep. I got to ask you, there. You know, in the NFL, so much of the NFL is fit. And a couple weeks ago, Chris Cooley came on our show, the former Pro Bowl tight end for the Washington football team. And he said...
He's a character.
Yeah. But he said, he goes, I like Wentz, and I like the Eagles. I'm not sure they fit the Foles Super Bowl. He goes, something doesn't work. And I sat there and I thought, Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz, there's a lot of it. Maybe they're just, they need a reboot. They need a reset. Could you make an argument with Wentz? There's going to be seven teams that need a quarterback. Maybe he's best served elsewhere and it's time to move on?
You know, It's a fascinating situation, one that I'm very familiar with, having a son that played there and won a Super Bowl. You know, he's an MVP candidate. He's probably going to win the MVP if he doesn't get hurt at the game that we covered out in L.A. That being said, he gets hurt. Foles comes in. They catch lightning in a bottle. The defense is you know, very good. They can close a game out. They can be physical. They can be creative. And Nick is a guy who, when he's hot, he's great. And when he's not, he's not. Carson, I've heard people try to overanalyze Carson. To me, it's a mindset problem. You know, never, ever, ever being willing to give up on a play. Never, ever, ever forcing the ball into double coverage. I don't understand it. I think he's great physically, and I'm a big Carson Wentz fan. But I'm not sure whether it's a lack of accountability when you go to the sideline. When you make that kind of throw and it's Jimmy Johnson on the sideline, you're going to get an earful.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Everyone has a different way of handling quarterbacks, and, you know, it's kind of like the elephant in the room that, oh, you can't say that to him. You know, it's like the star on a show. You know, it's you walk on eggshells to try to get a point across, or maybe you speak to the room, and in reality, you're speaking to one person.
Yeah.
And everyone in the room knows who you're talking to, but you're not directly talking to that person.
Yeah. Well, Howie Long is joining us, the Hall of Famer, 8 Pro Bowls, inducted into the Hall of Fame 20 years ago. So part of being in a Hall of Fame is availability. I think fit matters. I saw Joe Burrow get hurt yesterday, and it was sick to my stomach. In fact, I DM'd him last night, and he responded. I said, God, I'm just sick. And I look at Joe Burrow, and when I look at him, I think, great talent. I worry that the franchise can support him. Do you ever worry about that?
No question, Colin. I think you look at the history of quarterbacks. Go back to Jim Plunkett, you know, way back. Jim Plunkett went to the Patriots, who were a horrible organization.
Yeah.
And much like Burrow, they threw the ball way too much, and the protection was not great and took a lot of hits. If you look at the number of throws that that team has made this year, they're in the top five. If you look at the number of hits, pressures, and sacks, he's on the top five again. To expose that kind of a talent where, you know, this guy comes off the books at number one, and it's your job while the team is growing to try to, in a way, not essentially protect him, but you protect him with max protection. If you're going to go, for example, you know, when the Rams, and it's a team we all watch out in L.A., when the Rams are going deep, how many people do they have in protection off play action pass? It's 6 or 7,
yeah,
initially. So the it's a quarterback friendly offense, particularly on a deep ball. And I think for them, it was, we're exposing our kid to too much. We're just exposing him to too much. Now the kid out with the Chargers is,
oh boy, he's good.
Oh
my God.
Hey, Colin. He does 4 or 5 things a game that make you go, wow.
I think Justin Herbert is – I was thinking this yesterday. There's part of it that's almost Marino where it looks so easy,
yes,
to throw a football. You're like, God. And there's,
well,
no,
unlike,
struggle.
But unlike Dan, you know, the first start he gets, did you see him truck the linebacker on the sideline? I'm like, okay, that's – I would – if I'm on that team – and I'm a defensive end, and I'm going in the locker room, and I'm 30 years old, I'm pulling him aside and saying, loved it, that was great, I don't want to ever see that again.
I love watching him play, Howie. I love watching Herbert play.
I love him, and I'm hopeful. I don't. How can a team lose that many games with a lead at the end of the game? You know, I'm a big, you know, Lynn fan, but something – you know, they've got to get this thing figured out and turned around. Now, part of that is getting people healthy. The defensive ends haven't been healthy together all, you know, for most of the year.
Well, that's why they keep.
That's
why
they keep part of their game.
Yeah, that's why they keep losing leads. They like Anthony Lynn, and they get a lead, but they have no pass rushers. And
right.
That, so, I mean, I think some of that is solved with injuries. But I'm with you. When I watch Justin Herbert, you know, I've always had this. I remember watching Michael Jordan years ago. It's like 20 years ago. And I remember thinking, there's a bunch of guys in the NBA that are 6'6". Why does it look so easy for him? Herbert makes it look easy.
Hard to explain other than, well, while you're bringing up Michael Jordan, who's the only guy that could hold Michael Jordan to 17 points?
Dean Smith, yeah.
Okay, so who's the only guy that can make Justin Herbert look like a fringe first-round draft pick?
Is it the coach?
The Oregon offense. You know, you go to the bowl game, they cut him loose, and then you go to the Senior Bowl. He cuts it loose there. And, you know, if Burrow hadn't had the kind of year he had with the kind of players he had around him, with the team he had and the coordinator that he had that's now in Carolina, you know, I'm not sure if they had, you know, they weren't trusting their eyes. It's kind of like, you know, it's easy to see,
right?
But it's not easy to see.
Yeah.
You know, particularly a quarterback. I think it's the most difficult position to forecast from high school to college, college to pro. And the kid is like a 4.2.
Yeah.
He's kind of a pseudo-relative with the Wilcox family. Dave and I went in the Hall of Fame together up in Oregon, and they love him. They said the kid is the genuine article.
Howie, we got to run. You're a Hall of Famer. We always appreciate you coming on the show on a Monday, bud. Thank you so much.
Anytime, partner. Say hi to everybody.
I will. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of the hour. Coming up, if you're a Cowboy fan, it's not just about the win yesterday over Minnesota, but what you discovered. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Huge news from yesterday's free-to-play Super 6 contest. 8 players went a perfect 6-for-6 and split Terry Bradshaw's $1 million. The Colts beating the Packers by 3 in overtime sealed the deal. Congratulations to all 8 winners. And for the record, Colin, you correctly predicted the Colts to win by 3 or more in that game. Your next chance to win Terry's money will be on Thursday for the Thanksgiving showdown between the Cowboys and the Washington football team. Download the Fox Super 6 app and make your picks for free before that game kicks off for your chance to win big. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app.
So the Dallas Cowboys snapped their 4-game losing streak, and they actually went to Minnesota and won, which is not easy. I've been on the Vikings all year as the best team with a losing record, and this was not a good loss. But here's the thing about Dallas. The winner in this whole season, I mean, the NFC East is unwatchable. The NFC East is the relative you invite to Thanksgiving that nobody likes. You tolerate it. Nobody's really enjoying the 4-hour experience, right? Like, somebody's going to make the playoffs out of this division. Dallas wins on Thanksgiving. They'll be in first place in the division. It's all dreck. It's all awful. But the two things that I took away from yesterday is Dallas looked prepared. So when you lose a quarterback like Dak or any quarterback in the middle of a season, you're just bailing water. Dallas coaches got some extra time to prepare. Andy Dalton looked good. They ran the football, and they looked like a real competent team. Offensively, they were competent. Defensively, they're very limited. But here's what we know about Dallas. They may win a division. They're not good this year. Dak's going to return, though. Mike McCarthy's going to return, and they're going to draft some defensive line help. They absolutely have to. Enough drafting wide receivers. That's not their issue. But I thought yesterday they looked smart. They looked prepared. They played hard. Somebody's going to win this awful division. But we know what they are now. Dak is valuable. He is the energy of this team. His leadership. This was a rudderless football team for 3 weeks after he got hurt. They looked better yesterday. But you kind of feel like you know what Dallas is. They're not real good right now. You cannot be a good football team with that defense. They have no pass rush. Kirk Cousins played well. Dalvin Cook played well. Wasn't like Minnesota handed them the game. They relied on the better side of the football, their offense. Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup. This is the side of the football where Dallas has some real talent. Not a lot on the defensive side outside of Jalen Smith. You know, their best corner ended up going to Miami. We knew going into the season, this is going to be a team that's going to struggle on the back end, and they have. Minnesota moved the ball. Kirk Cousins was very effective. But you know what? McCarthy's an offensive coach. Dak will come back. They'll draft the defensive line, and you feel good today. They were prepared. They look smart. You'd worry about your kids if they had time to prepare for a test and still couldn't get it right. They wouldn't have to ace the test, but if your kid had 2 weeks to prepare for a test and still got a D, that's a problem. It's one thing if your kid's handed a test on short notice and struggles. You maybe have a kid that needs a little extra time. But Dallas had extra time, and it wasn't even winning. They looked smart. They looked clever. They looked well-prepared. And they haven't all season. And so I'm like, all right, draft on the defense. 7-8 draft picks. Use all of them on defense. Dak will come back, maybe take at some point, trade down, get an offensive lineman. But, I mean, the divisions are wrecked. They're going to get to the playoffs. That's not an issue. And that doesn't prove anything. But, you know, got extra time, smart, prepared, had fight. That's good. Colin right, Colin wrong, top of hour two next.